You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Right, now we are journeying through a series entitled Thank God It's Monday, and this is our part three of a four-part week. Next week, we're going to talk about land the series and talk about what it means to have genuine rest. When you've worked right, 6, 7 days, fixed 5 days in a week, then obviously the seventh day is the day of rest. Now, we talked about work and what work is and what it's not. In a brief review, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, work is not your job. Now, that is a form of work, but that's not the work we're talking about. A job is something that you're paid to do, in which case, that's your job. Now, if you extend that from just one job to something that's more extended, like an employment, and you get paid for it, that's a kind of work, but that's not the work we're talking about. Now, if it extends further than that, it's what really occupies most of your time, then that becomes your occupation. And finally, if that becomes your career, that's the thing that you do for pretty much most of your life. But that's not the work we were talking about. We were talking about the word abad. And we said that word basically is blessed labor, that we were designed by God to work. And we talked at length about, in the first series, how God is a worker. He's the first worker. We find in Scripture that the opening verses of Genesis chapter 1 talks about a God who's working. And that he was just not a worker, he was an excellent worker. He had attention to detail, the way he made flowers, and the way he made animals, the way he made teeth, the way he made our hearts. He was an excellent worker. And not only that, everything he worked with or worked on had a meaning and a purpose for it. Last week, we talked about not just work, we talked about the spiritual and secular work. We said that both of these are sacred, that there's no divide, that we're doing what I'm doing up here, which is spiritual, and what you're doing on a week-to-week basis on a Monday, which is secular, both of these are just as sacred. We walked through the idea of what it means to have work from God, how it is to work for God, and finally we talked about what it means to work with God. And finally, today, we're on week three, we're talking about the man that works. And if you're a woman in the room, the reason why I use that title is because the man and woman that works is just too long and it's not as nice a design. Amen? Don't go women's lib on me. That's too 70s, okay? We're now in the 80s, okay? Man means man and woman. Now, when you read the Bible, there's a book called the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms is the book of prayer. If you want to pray on a daily basis, you want to read the Book of Psalms every day, because every time you read that, there's a prayer attached to it. It's much easier to pray. When you want a book in the Bible that deals with daily life, things that you do on a daily basis, that book is the Book of Proverbs. You want to talk about work, success, talking, speaking, excellence. You want to talk about moral values, integrity. You want to talk about money. The Book of Proverbs is the book to go through. And so for this particular message, this preaching, I'm going to be sticking on the Book of Proverbs. Before I do that, I want to introduce to you what the Book of Proverbs is. And it's mentioned to us in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Proverbs is Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm writing this book to give you wisdom and instruction to understand words of insight. This entire book of 31 chapters has been written to give us wisdom and instruction to make us understand words of insight. Further he goes, he says, to receive instruction in wise dealing. In other words, when you read the book of Proverbs, you become wiser in the dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discernment to the youth. In other words, this is a book that's been designed to help you if you are young and inexperienced or simple-minded. You're new at these things. And these days, we think the youth know everything because of Facebook, because of Twitter, because of Instagram, because of the web. We tend to think that we know everything, but the book of Proverbs tells us there's a big difference between knowledge. Knowledge is the acquisition of information. Wisdom is the ability to apply the right information to the right circumstances in your daily life. And that's the book of Proverbs. It teaches you what you ought to know, but more than that, it teaches you not just what you ought to know, how do I apply that to my daily life and find success? And he says this is for young people. These are for people who don't have a lot of experience. You want to read this book every day. I literally have read the book of Proverbs, I cannot even remember how many times. And I still read it every day because I believe that in it, it contains a lot of the wisdom that God has for us. He goes on to say, let the wise hear and increase their learning. This is not just a book for the simple, the young, the inexperienced. It's also for the wise, that you might increase your learning. And the one who understands and obtain guidance to understand the proverb and the saying and the words of the wise and the riddles of life. Life does have riddles. And when you read the Bible, there's one thing you need to understand about it. The reason why many people have a problem reading the Bible, or for that matter, reading the book of Proverbs, is because sometimes it sounds like a disparate, discombobulated, not connected set of writings. Because sometimes when we read Scripture, we want formulas, we want things to do, but that's really not the way the Bible works. The Bible is a book of overlaps. The Bible melds your spiritual life, your mental life, your health life, your financial life, your love life, your marriage life, your parenting. It melts it all together, and that's why it's a book of harmony. It actually causes you to be able to be gracious and graceful in the way you do life, because you're able to overlap these correct values together. We tend to be very narrow-minded. We want a formula. What do I do for my work? What do I do for my parenting? But God's not that way. It actually is ability to give you the ability to perform your work, be healthy, be successful, have the right amount of money, be married, enjoy your time with your children, go to soccer practice, and do everything else that you have in store for you. The book of Proverbs further says that when you talk about work, there's really three things you need to understand. The first are hands, and we're going to look at that in a bit. The second is your head. How many of you have hands? And how many of you have heads? Okay, this is important. And number three, you've got to have a heart. Now, when you talk about hands, it's talking about working hard. We find that verse in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. It says, lazy hands. Everybody say, lazy hands lead to poverty, it says. In the NIV, it actually says, lazy hands make a man poor. When you're lazy, you're guaranteed you're going to be poor. When you don't know how to wake up on time, you're assured. You don't even have to think about it. You don't even have to worry about it. When you're lazy, when you watch too much TV, you're guaranteed poverty. Somebody shout amen. Amen. All right? If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be lazy. Because when your hands are lazy, guaranteed. In fact, I will sign the warranty for you. You're going to be poor, for sure. It says it. Diligent hands. Hands that work right. Hands that work hard. They're going to have wealth in time, in due time. You're going to see that in a bit. Don't be lazy. Okay? Great that you know that God works. Great that you have the right theology about work. Great that you know that you have work from God, work for God, and work with God. But if you're lazy, sorry. It's just not going to work for you. All hard work brings a profit. If you don't work hard, there will be no profit. But mere talk leads to poverty. You know all these guys that have all these brilliant ideas that they just keep talking about, and they come to a party, and you think when you talk to them, you think like they know everything. But they're lazy. There's nothing to expect. Further, it says in verse 19, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Those who work their land will have abundant food. You got to work. These are hands. Your land will not just work by itself. You're going to have to work it. Work hard. How? Proverbs tells us. Very interesting. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O lazy one. Interesting. I like the way God teaches us. He wants to teach you how to be hardworking. When God wants to teach you not to be anxious or to have anxiety, he says, look at the birds of the air. When you're lazy, look at the ants. Don't you just love God? I mean, these formulas are so simple. You don't have to go to Harvard to be successful. Now, that doesn't mean if you go to Harvard, you're not smart. Amen? That's not what I said. What I said is you don't have to. In other words, if you went there, great, you're smarter than most of us. That's not the point. The point is, look at the ant, O lazy one. Consider his ways. Think about him and be wise, he says. Be wise and watch the ant. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, he prepares bread for the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. In other words, nobody has to propel him to work. He's self-motivated to work. Look at him. He's smaller than you. His brain is definitely much, much smaller than yours. But he's smarter than you because he knows enough to work at the right time. And nobody tells him to do it. Welcome to the world of hard work. And everybody said, amen. We should be. Christians should be known for that. Thank God it's Monday. Glad to work. Your employees, your bosses, the people you work with, when they see you at the office, they should see, wow, here comes Joey. Here comes James. Here comes Emil. Well, it's time to work. He's excited. He's happy. Some of your face is going longer the more I say this. You're getting more depressed. You need to listen to 1 and 2. Get a better revelation of work. It goes on to say, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. You just don't have the wisdom. Hard work, basic. You should be doing that. If that's not happening, don't expect anything. Head, let's talk about the head. Working smart. Now, you've heard your grandfather tell you got to work hard. You heard your father tell you got to work hard. And then somebody in McGraw-Hill and Business Week and Bloomberg told you, you got to work smart. And that's biblical too. You can't just keep working hard. You got to work hard and you got to work smart. And the book of Proverbs says a lot about that. Proverbs 15, verse 14, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. A wise person is hungry for knowledge while fools are spending too much time on Facebook. Now, there's nothing wrong with Facebook. I'm very active on Facebook. You go to my Facebook site, I'm there 7 days a week. But I don't read everything. And I've got exact number of minutes that I need to be in there and out. Facebook is good, amen? Thank God for Mark. Connects all of us. But a lot of that's trash. You got to find the right knowledge. In fact, it says you got to be hungry for the right knowledge. Are you? How much time do you spend in a week to read? Because if you're not reading, you're not going to be very smart. If you're watching too much TV and too much time on YouTube, you're not going to be very smart. You're probably going to know a lot, but you're not going to be very smart because there's a discipline and exercise to reading. My experience, it takes about 8 to 9 hours to read a good book and digest it well. But are you hungry for knowledge? Because if you're not hungry for knowledge, you're just going to be working hard. You're not going to be very smart. Are you reading better about your work? Are you figuring out better ways to plan? Are you looking for better ways to maximize your time? Are you looking for better ways to become smarter? Because this is important. This is the man that works. This is the man and woman who works. How much time are you really spending trying to learn something new? Like the story of Stephen Mansfield about this African-American lady who didn't know how to read. And she was dirt poor. She didn't have any money. And so she wanted to read. Then she was cleaning her master's house. And she kept thinking, why is my master rich and I am poor? It's not because of the color of my skin. It's not because of my background. And the more she labored in that house, she realized when she was cleaning her master's library that the reason why these guys are rich is because they know more than I do and because they read a lot. Now, you got to understand, this woman is very, very poor. So what she did was, I can't afford books, but she decided, I'm going to learn to read and my children are going to learn to read. And she started buying books on discount. Didn't know how to read, but she started buying books. And every dinner time, she would sit her children, and she would read a book. But basically, because she doesn't know how to read, she didn't know what she was reading. And so every dinner time, she would repeat what she would hear during dinner in her master's house to make her look like she's reading. And lo and behold, her children grew up reading. And each one became lawyers and doctors and successful people, became very, very wealthy people. Business people. When she died, they found out that she couldn't read because some of the books that she was reading to them were of a foreign language. But she did inspire them to read. You know, I credit my wife. My wife is here. She wasn't here in the first service. My wife taught my kids how to read. She told them, you're not, my other son's here today. I know these guys read. She locked up those Betamaxes, amen? You know, the Betamax, who were old, okay? So she locked them up. Then we went to VHC, she locked them up, and she regulated when those things were going to be watched because she wanted to make sure they read. Because if you want to work hard, that's fine, but you're not going to go very far unless you're smart. And you got to read. That brain's got to be full of stuff, good stuff. You got to be discerning about what you read. Hang around people who are wise so they can tell you. That's why I love this church, is because every time somebody gives me a gift, I can already expect it's a book. I actually have about 11 on my desk right now. My son David just gave me another book, The Road to Character. It's an amazing book. But the more you read, and listen, you can do this. The difference between successful societies, you go to Japan, they read. You go to Singapore, you'll find the bus stations and you'll find the trains, they're reading. I love you. Amen? Somebody's got to tell you this. And it's not comic books they're reading. It's not the newspaper they're reading. They're reading. They're discerning what is knowledge, what's worth reading. Ideally, it has something to do with your job, so you get better at your job. Now, let me leave that point. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. You're not going to go very far if you're not intelligent. You got to be intelligent. You got to read. You got to exercise. Don't ever say it's too late. It's never too late. Nothing is too late for people who want something. It's always late, even if you're young, if you don't want it. But intelligent people are always ready, always looking for a way to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge, always ready to learn. Are you? When was the last time you read? When was the last time you, if you can't read, get an audiobook. But when was the last time you put some serious money into investing so you can get smarter? Because if you only work and work hard, it's not going to get you very far. Zig Ziglar said this. He said, rich people have small TVs and big libraries. Poor people have small libraries and big TVs. How big is your TV? And how big is your library? Because that's going to tell us what kind of output and work you're going to have. Look at your neighbor and say, he really loves me now. Hard work, yes. Smart work, even better. Proverbs 19, verse 8, the one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. Do you cherish it? Are you always ready? Are you hungry? Or have you settled? I know everything. You're arrogant and you're dumb. You're a fool. Most of us don't know a lot. We've got to study. We've got to read. We've got to change the culture of this country. It should start with a church. By the way, start with reading your own Bible. You should be the best readers because you have a book to read for the rest of your life. Now get this. Hand plus head equals skills. If all you have is hand, you're not going to be very skillful. If all you have is head, we've got too many people who say, I work smart, that's why I sleep the whole day. You're dumb. It's hand plus head equals skill. The guy who keeps doing this repeatedly is the guy that gets good at it. Make no mistake about it, you got to learn. Many of you know I was a businessman. Before I ramped on and became a pastor, I had to study church history. Do you know how long church history is? 6,000 years. That's a lot of study. I had to understand the different variants of different religions and different, and I just didn't have to understand Christianity. I had to understand all kinds of religions. But make no mistake about it. You're not going to get very far with just hard work. I had to learn how to use a Greek-Hebrew dictionary. I had to understand some Latin words to do what I do now, because if I don't, I'm not going to be very competent. The point in saying all of this is, doesn't matter what your work is, what your abad is, work hard, work smart. You do that over time. Everybody say over time. Don't be in a hurry. There's no such thing. It's a proven fact. It takes time to get these things done. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, I'm borrowing this verse, if only because the book of Ecclesiastes is a sister to the book of Proverbs. If an axe is dull, its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed. But with skill will bring success. In other words, if your axe is dull, if your brain is dull, if your work is dull, you're going to need more energy. You're going to burn yourself out unnecessarily. But with skill comes success. You want to be skillful. You want to work hard and you want to work smart. Do you see someone skilled at their work? They will serve before kings. They will serve before kings. Now, it's one thing to work hard, another thing to work smart. There's a difference between working wise. Working wise is bringing together, working hard, working smart, and having the right heart. We're going to unpack this in a bit, but before I do that, I want to show you a video. A little long, 3 minutes. It's a story of a pastor's son. And this young man began, he felt like he was out of place because his father was a minister and his father didn't understand the call of secular work, which is what I'm trying to make you understand. Your secular work matters. Our work matters. We studied that last week. Now, this young man eventually built a company. It's called Hobby Lobby today. Hobby Lobby is a $2.5 billion company today. And he's 100% Christian. You're going to see in a bit. He's got 20,000 employees. His family's intact. His family has a covenant that everything they're working for the glory of God, that if one day this company had to be sold or bought or went public, all the proceeds of the money will go to the Christian ministries. Amazing story. You're going to hear about him and his son. I'm going to come back here, and I want you to understand the potential of what it means to work hard, work wise, and work smart. Very interested about this company because I came across them in a Bloomberg magazine, and how, because they were really written down an oath that whatever happens to the company goes to ministry, it goes for the glory of God. Now, in order to unpack what it means to have the right heart for work and to be able to work wise, I'm going to talk about it in light of Proverbs 31, woman. Now, this is for the women who were complaining that this is the title was man. Now, before I do that, I want to reference, first of all, the tail end of that chapter where it says in verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now, for you men, this does not mean that this is just for women. This actually applies to men and women the same way that the earlier messages apply to women as it is to men. But what we want to glean are the principles that make us work wise. Not just work hard, not just work smart, but what does it mean to work wise? He says she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. She's talking to women here. It's not bad to be charming, but charm is deceptive. How many of you, after a long time, charm gets old? Okay? Your nice dress gets old. There's nothing wrong with nice dresses. Buy them, okay? Just don't think that they're the ones that are going to make you what you're supposed to be. And then it says, beauty is fleeting. You're going to get old, okay? I don't care who you are, and I don't care how many Botox shots you have. Okay? But a woman who fears the Lord, wise one, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Before you can have wisdom, you're going to have knowledge and understanding, and you have to know there is a God. And the fear of that God will give you wisdom. It will open your heart and your mind to understand how to work wisely. And that's what this verse is saying. Now, I want to reference a book because I talked about a company from the United States. I want to talk to you about a Filipina. This is Arlene Gozon. I love this book. I've read this book twice. It's an amazing book about this woman who started out as a widow, started selling patis, dalisay patis. I'm hoping that this book can be published so that many Christians can read it, because she's a third generation Christian. Actually, fourth, rather. She's the second. Her children are the third. Now her grandchildren, they're all members of our church. And she started out by driving around in a clunky jeepney selling patis. True story. And she would sell that and make a little money, and she would take that little money, centavos at that time, you know, 1950s, and patis was centavos. In those days, in the 1960s, when I was a kid, believe it or not, 1 liter of gasoline was 35 centavos. That's true, okay? That's how old I am. A brand new car from England was 13,000 pesos. So you can imagine how much patis was. It's 5 centavos. So she would sell the patis, and she would take the patis, and she would use that to buy land in Antipolo. And gradually buy land, and eventually got this land that nobody wanted, because it was only 5 centavos, because nobody liked this land. It was barren. But she still bought it, which ended up to be a gravel and sand business that exists to this day. And then she made money from the gravel and the patis, and she started buying asin plants in asin yards in Pangasinan, which to this day, her grandchildren are exporting to New York. Are you following? Salt, yes. Some of the chefs in New York use that salt. I want to read to you excerpts from the book. This is my dream, is that days from now, we're not going to import U.S. videos. We're going to tell your story to generations of Christians that started from nowhere and became who God intended them to be because they work wise. Now, let me read to you what Attorney Febarin, the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, said about this woman. Her outlook is one of pragmatism without compromising on integrity. One cannot help but notice the premium she puts on what? Honest labor, abad, industry, and a strong love for family. They come together, folks. If you really love your family, you should be honest labor. This is a woman. She never presented the fairy tale version of life, not the cutesy version of life. Instead, she told it like it was, her shortcomings as needs as a young girl, her wishes and her heart's desire showed only with the Lord, and how she found his faithfulness and wisdom. By the way, this woman who's writing this was a young woman when she wrote it. She was a member of the Philippine Monetary Board when she met her. She wasn't the Securities Exchange Commission yet. But this was the impression she got as a young woman about this older woman. She saw her work, her secular work. By the way, this woman never preached the church. Never has and never did. But her secular work honored God to guide her from her youth and maidenhood to finding the love of her life. Amazing story. Now let's talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. A wife of noble character who can find, she's worth far more than rubies. What does it mean to work wise? It begins with character. Not beauty, not charm, it begins with character. If you have that character, if you have that noble character, God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'm not going to cheat. God, I'm not going to do the wrong thing. I will be a woman and a man of character. That's the prerequisite to working wise. You cannot work wise without character. You can work hard, you can work smart, but you will not work wise without character. And if you work with character, it will be more profitable, it will be more beautiful, it will be more valuable than rubies. That's what it says. Her husband has full confidence in her, and he lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She says confidence, the mark of wisdom in work. Number one is character. Number two is there's a level of confidence because you know who you're working for. You're not haphazard about your work. You're not insecure about your work. You know who you are in Christ. The importance of that, chapter 31, verses 13 and 14, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She selects. She's not random. She selects. She takes the time. She studies the details. She looks at what she's doing. She works on the timing of what she says and how she says it. If you're going to work, you've got to be selective. You've got to be detailed. You've got to have the capability to do the right thing, not just haphazard work. Quality work, excellent work, the best that anything could be found in your line of work. She's like a merchant bringing ships, bringing food from. She works with eager hands, rather. There's an eagerness to work. I'm not just detailed and meticulous. I'm actually eager to do this. And then it says she brings food from afar. In other words, she goes and goes the distance. Are you the kind of person who will go the distance? Are you the kind of person who just, oh, that will do. Pwede na yan. Okay na. That'll work. That's enough. I've put in my 8 hours. Or are you the kind of person who says, no, I'm going the distance. I'm going to give you the best. Now, I say this just as an example. I don't say this to brag, but when I preach here, I do my own keynote. And I work on every line that comes out here. Because I believe in honest labor. I believe if you're going to do something, you're going to have, number one, you're going to have the character. Yes, number one, you're going to have the willingness to do that and the confidence to do it. But you're going to be capable. There has to be a capability. Your boss is not going to promote you. Your bankers were not going to lend you money if they see that you're not capable. They're not backing you up. Your partners, your employees, your best officers, they're not going to stay with you. Your bosses are not going to promote you. It's a capability. Capability means I'm detailed. I'm selecting. I'm not random. I'm eager to work. I'm not just eager, I'm going the distance. I'm taking the time to make sure I'm doing the best. I'm researching. I'm studying. She gets up while it's still late at night. How many of you, this is really getting hard, amen? How many of you want to work wise? She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family. You know, if you can't fix your time, you're not going to be much. Basic. You can't. You can't play with the Germans. You can't play in the world arena if you can't get that fixed. Her family and fortune, they'll watch this. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. If you hate getting up in the morning, she stays late at night. You know, when I was reading this last night, I thought about this. Wow, this woman works hard. But you know, more than just working hard, you know what it was telling me? It was talking to me about consistency. It's one thing to have character. It's one thing to really want to do this thing and clearly, okay, I've got the character. I'm confident about it. I'm capable. I can do it. It's another thing to be consistent. To make sure that every time you do this and you deliver it at that quality level. Because that's how you get promoted. If you're an architect, if you're a designer, if you're a teacher, if you're whatever it is you're doing, consistency matters. Because that's what you're paid for. Imagine going to a restaurant and you're paid for, you get a meal that was one quality and the next week it's a different quality. They're not coming back, folks. You want to be a nation when people come here. You know, I love coming to the Philippines. Why? People have character. They won't steal from you. They won't lie to you. They come on time. They're amazing people. They're the funnest people, but they're also very confident about their job. What an amazing nation. Okay, they're not just confident about their job. They're very capable. I love hearing that. When I go to the States, people tell me, you know what? I love it when I call my call center because a Filipino answers. They're very capable. That should be across the board in everything we're doing. Amen? If we're going to be the Christian nation we were destined to be. But they're not just capable, they're consistent. Week in, day out, it's being delivered in the right consistency and quality level. Further, it says, when it snows, she has no fear for her household. All of them are clothed in scarlet. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. There's that hard work. And it talks about the snow. He said when it snows, his household has no fear. She's going not just from being capable and consistent. She's going into this place of not just capable and consistency, but the place of competence. She watches over the affairs of her house. Her house is, there's a competence. It's, you know, when you have capability, you're capable of doing something repeatedly, you're going to have competence. You are competent. People can say, I can rely on this. In a large way, and I'm not saying this for anything else, the reason why we're sending people home is because these services are competent. They start on time, they end on time, the quality level is the same. Make no mistake about it. You're going to attract people if there's competence in your life. And when you don't, you're not going to attract a lot of quality people. Hello? Wow, this is quiet today. This is important for us as a nation. If you want to see the kingdom of God come and bear upon this nation, wise work. No shortcuts. Finally, it says in chapter 31, verse 23 and 28, her husband is respected at the city gates where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Notice, her husband is respected at the city and her husband praises her. Her children call her blessed. They arise and call her blessed. You know what that is? That's credibility. When you have competence, you'll have credibility. When you have credibility, you're going to have a reputation and people will come. When your credibility, those guys are always late. Those guys are messy. You should see their airport. It's a mess. It's not going to work. There are no shortcuts to greatness. There are no shortcuts to destiny. Hard work. Smart work. Wise work. Having the character of God, having the confidence of God, having the capability to perform that work, not just the capability to perform that work. I've got to be capable, but I've got to be consistent, delivering that level of quality. Then comes competence, and then comes credibility. Comes a reputation that says, when you say the Philippines, it doesn't mean what it used to mean. It means something totally different. It's not going to happen overnight. Here's the equation. Character plus confidence, capability plus consistency equals competence and credibility. Just bottom line. Too many Christians are all in this, God's going to bless me. I work for God. I've got work from God. I work with God. Yeah. That's true. If you don't work hard, it's not coming. If you're not very smart, it's not coming. If you don't work wise, it's not coming. You're going to be in for a big surprise. Hello? Now, let me close and reference back Arlene Gozon. Final words of this SEC commissioner. Listening to her was like hearing the Bible come to life in her own story. Your secular world is the Bible story in this world. If you're a homemaker, to your mates, that's your story. Your credibility, the way you handle your schedules, that's your story. It confirmed to me, confirming to my young mind, she was talking about this, she was young when she met this woman, shaped her. The Bible verse that indeed Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, in all was stressing that she was far from perfect by telling it like it is. She impressed upon my young heart that it was all because of God's goodness, God's great love, and God's abounding grace. Work. There's a different kind of work. What I saw was a woman like no other who had her own fears, her own weaknesses, her own challenges and problems, but whose real and sole passion was in loving her Lord Jesus Christ and whose unwavering faith in Him made her dare not to face her difficulties. And they were many too, without putting her absolute complete trust in Him, surrendering in full obedience to His word. In this, she was a woman like no other. It was not her preaching, folks. It was her work. It was the quality of her work, the hard work that she put in, the smart work that she put in, the wise work that she put in. Amen? Do you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Just be still for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you've been out of a job for weeks, months, maybe a year, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to minister to you right now. If you're getting frustrated and you're wondering, well, I don't have a job, or anybody else? Yes. You can put your hands down. I just want to see how many of you are out there. Anybody else? You don't have a job. You're looking for one. You're believing God for one. And if you're here in this church today, just join me in agreement for these people. Father, we just thank you for this word, this series on work. Lord, our desire is to bless you with our labor as you have given us blessed labor. Father, may you be honored and glorified through our work in our spiritual jobs, in our homes, in our families. God, I'm asking you for these that don't have work today, that you will build their faith. Lord, that even today they will trust, Lord, however menial this job that may be given to me right now, Lord, I will be faithful and I will apply these principles that you've given me. God, I pray, Lord, that you would put in their hearts, just lay your hands, if you don't have work right now, lay your hands in your heart right now. Father, give me the faith to believe that tomorrow morning I will wake up as if I have work, and my work is to find work tomorrow 8 hours a day. God, that's my work from this day forward. Lord, I wake up, just lay your hands in your hearts, if that's your faith. Look up here for a minute. I heard a wise man say this to me more than 30 years ago. If you don't have work, your work is to look for work. Wake up every day and spend 8 hours every day looking for work, and guess what? You'll find it. But if you sit around in your shorts, you sit around in your house doing nothing, you're not going to find the work. Your raising your hand is a waste of time, an exercise in futility. You're actually lying to yourself. You really don't want to work. Because if you want to work, you'll find work. And you could be wrapping bags. If you do it the best, you're glorified. Listen, the scoreboard is what car, not the car you drive. The scoreboard is, do you glorify God? The scoreboard is not how big your house is. The scoreboard is God glorified in your life, and are people being drawn to God because of you? Are you with me? That's the scoreboard. And guess what? If you do it right, the wealth will come. Don't worry about that. That's God's business. Your business is to do the work. The wealth will come. He promised it. But if you think you're going to get the wealth just because he promised it, you're going to be in for a surprise. Amen? Lift up your hands towards heaven. God, bless your people with the revelation of work. God, that's our desire. Our desire, God, is that you would be glorified through our work. God, I pray, Lord, that as we come closer to the end of this series, may we understand what it means, God, to see a God who works. May we understand, Lord, the kind of work that works. And Father, may we be kind of people who work right, who work wise, who work hard, and who work smart. Seal these truths in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.